I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. If there are guests in our midst, also a hearty welcome. And may you also all feel the love of God as we want to delve into his word this morning. And I trust that we are once again glad that we can come together for another worship service, and that we can say, as King David did in Psalm 103, verse 1 to 4, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Let us unite. Almighty God, we come before your throne of grace and first of all, thank you for your abundant love towards us. We thank you for the beginning of another day and ask you to bless this service and the rest of the day. May we follow the teaching of John the Baptist, whom you sent to prepare the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, by preaching repentance. May we truly repent according to his preaching, so that we are prepared to accept your dear Son and our Savior. We pray that you will be in our midst in spirit and lead and guide us as we want to look into your word and see what you have to tell us about leaders. We pray for our government leaders that you have put in place, that they would seek godly wisdom and not allow Satan and the world to lead them. We pray for also the Ukraine, that the war there may stop. We also pray for Russia, that they may retreat. And Heavenly Father, may you give us the wisdom to pray for them. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Take our red hymnal and turn to page 225, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." 225.
Peace divine is come for have thine own way. 249.
This morning, we want to look at leadership. Much emphasis is put on leaders in today's society. And a lot of times, a leader is evaluated by how well he speaks, or maybe if he's a top-ranking government official, or it might be someone that has accomplished a lot of things or something important and has made an important contribution to society. Very often, a leader is evaluated by his reputation and not his character. But what society needs today is godly leaders, not only in government or high-ranking positions, but also in our homes. We need leaders that are willing to love their families, to provide for their families. Leaders that will teach their children to live with integrity. And leaders that will protect their family from the evil influences around them. I believe all of us, and especially for us as husbands and fathers, we want to provide leadership for our families, but I will be the first to admit I have not always been the leader I should have been. I know I have missed the mark many times. And on the one hand, I would want to go back and do things better. But on the other hand, I have been there and done that. I would like to do it better the next time. But we are still here today in this world, and so we still want to strive and work towards the leader that God wants us to be. And we want to look into Scripture this morning and look at a leader that was chosen by God. And in choosing this man, God, first of all, looked at his character and his reputation that he had with God. He also looked at the character of his fellowship with others. His name is Joshua. As words of text, I want to go to those words, familiar words, in Joshua 24, verse 15. It is a time where Joshua gathered the people together. They were serving other gods. And he came to the point where he wanted them to make a decision. And he said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." So he tells them, make a choice. There's those other gods that you're worshiping. Which one do you want? But then he makes those famous words, "But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was a new beginning for the children of Israel. They had been in the desert for 40 years, and they were now going to settle into this new land of Canaan. Then we want to go to Joshua, chapter 1, God's words to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." This is what God told Joshua. He was supposed to take over from Moses. Joshua had big shoes to fill. But Joshua was a man of courage. He was a man of faith. Remember when Moses sent these 12 spies into the promised land, into Canaan, to spy it out? And the report that came back, 10 spies said that it was impossible to take over that land. They would be defeated. There was giants. But Joshua and Caleb, the other two spies, they came back with a different report. Why was their report different? Because of their faith. God had told them that they would overcome that land. That is why God chose Joshua. Yes, Joshua was backed by the promises of God himself. Joshua chapter 1 again, verses 5 to 9. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So these are the words that God himself spoke to Joshua before he entered into that promised land. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And Joshua, he was about 80 years old at that time, and he had a young group of followers that he was responsible for. Because all those that had left Egypt that were approximately older than 20, they had to die in the desert. And so if we do the math, the oldest followers that he had were probably 60 years old, and the rest were all younger. They were all younger when they crossed the Jordan River and conquered the cities. Yes, Joshua entered that land. They fought those giants, the strongest cities, but they were no match for Joshua and his followers. Now, much could be said about the triumphant entry into the promised land. And I'm sure many of us, or most of us, have heard these stories in Sunday school. But what we want to focus on today is on the character and the values of Joshua. Joshua was a godly man. He always reminded the people of the greatness and the faithfulness of God. His godly influence had been so strong that generations after that he had passed away, the people still served God. We find that in Joshua 24. Verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So strong had Joshua's influence been on the people. But these were exciting times for the children of Israel. They had defeated the enemy, and they had claimed the land that God had promised them so many years ago. And each of the tribes had received their inheritance, and now they could settle down and enjoy life. It was indeed a time of hope, prosperity, and blessings. And this was a young nation, except for Joshua, all these people had been born in the wilderness, except those that were, I think it says, about 20 years or younger, or not of age, I think it says, when they left Egypt. So most of them did not know these things about Egypt, except what they had heard from their parents. God wanted a new beginning for this nation. But this was also a very dangerous time for them. The danger that they would forget where they had come from. The danger that they would forget how they had gotten to where they were and what the Lord had done for them. But Moses already warned them about this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. There was always this danger that they would start worshiping other gods in the land of Canaan. Going on in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 to 15. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. There was a danger that the children of Israel would do this. Why? Moses said, because this could happen because of their prosperity and security. They would allow themselves the pleasures and activities that may not be pleasing to God. The Israelites may not have seen this, but their leader Joshua did. In the midst of this situation, Joshua stands up to deliver a challenge from the Lord. God wants them to dedicate themselves to him and to continue to show their appreciation and worship him. He wants to have a close relationship with his people. And now it is once again time for Joshua to remind the people. In Joshua 24, verse 13 to 18. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye build not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Yes, this was Joshua's farewell speech to the children of Israel. Joshua did not want the people to lose their focus, their spiritual focus. He wanted them to always remember who the God of Israel is, and to remain in obedience and to continue to worship him. As Joshua reviewed the history of Israel and once again reminded the people the goodness and mercy of God, and how God had freed them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And it is good for us as well to remember how God has freed us from the bondage of sin. And also to remember how his goodness, grace, and mercies have been a part of our daily lives. Joshua also reminded the people of God's sincerity. Our God is a jealous God, in that he will not share his place in our hearts with any foreign gods. He must be Lord of all. We might be surprised to learn that at times there also are different gods in our lives. Everybody serves some god. If it is not the true God, as we know him through his Son, Jesus Christ, then it is a false god. Joshua knew that there would be temptations to serve false gods. That is why he warned the people. But he said, "The choice is yours." That holds true for us as well. The choice is ours. Have we decided, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Or have some other gods crept into our lives that are distracting us from living for the Lord? My prayer would be that we could echo the words of Joshua. Now, before we continue in our message this morning, I want to give you all the opportunity to go on bended knee, whoever's able, and so let us kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take our blue book and turn to 275. More about Jesus. 275, let's all stand.
Spirit.
Now Joshua was not only a courageous general, but also a godly leader to the people and a godly father to his family. His priorities and focus were not in making a big name for himself or to become rich or famous, but to be a godly father and a godly leader. Moses warned the people, even before they had inhabited the new land, of the dangers of becoming slack in their faith and obedience. But let's ask ourselves, what are our priorities? Is our goal to become rich and famous, to have many possessions? Or are we willing to sacrifice the well-being of our families because of our selfish desires? Are we pursuing goals in our lives that are contrary to God's will? Or are we listening to negative influences when we should rather be seeking God's will for our lives? Joshua had it right. His heart was connected to the heart of God. He was not pursuing dreams outside of what God wanted him to do. In today's society, it seems as if the majority of families and homes have an abundance of things. That too can be a distraction in our Christian life. Here too is a danger that we who have so much may lose our sense for the need of dedication and a fully surrendered life. But I'd like to encourage us as husbands and fathers to make it a goal to be spiritual leaders in our homes, so that we can show love one to another, we can encourage one another, and we can live a life by being a spiritual example. Yes, a true leader in the home will not rule his family with anger and to instill fear to show that he is superior. That is not leadership. That is ungodly behavior. This is spiritual immaturity. If you love your wife and your family, show them that you love them by how you interact with them on a daily basis. Let us learn from Joshua. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Yes, Joshua was not only a godly leader to his people, the Israelites, but he was also a godly husband and a godly father. I'd also like to take a minute to talk to the young men that are here this morning. A number of you are probably still teenagers with a promising future ahead of you. Look in the right places. Listen to the right influences. Listen to what qualities a godly leader should have. And you know, young men, out there someplace is a virtuous young lady looking for a young man. Not for a young man that is most popular or has fastest car, but she's looking for a young man we could say he has his head straight on his shoulders. One who walks with integrity. And if this young man would be accused of being a Christian, that there would be a lot of evidence to prove that he is. Godly leaders are not known by their reputation, but by their character. And if you work at building godly character now, you will someday make a fine young husband for a virtuous young lady and a caring father for the little ones. And yes, I know, for you young people, maybe not only just young people, there are many distractions out there begging for our attention. But the earlier in life you will be able to manage your desires and distractions and temptations, the better equipped you will be to face the bigger issues in life. Choose carefully whom you will serve, and continually ask Christ to guide you through the phases of life. In Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Very good advice for us. Then we go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Not only talking to young men, talking to all men. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Good advice for us. And young people, sometimes mom and dad also have some good advice. Good leadership skills are learned. Anyone can be a follower. But good leadership skills come from godly character. Godly character comes with having a right relationship with our godly leader, Jesus Christ. I came across an article. I've read it a couple of times, and I was not sure if I should read it here or not. It speaks too much to me. It goes like this. When leaders make a mistake, they say, I was wrong. When followers make a mistake, they say, it wasn't my fault. A leader works harder than a follower and has more time. A follower is always too busy to do what is necessary. A leader makes and keeps commitments. A follower makes and forgets to keep promises. A leader says, I'm good, but not as good as I ought to be. A follower says, I'm not as bad as a lot of other people. Leaders listen. Followers just wait until it's their turn to talk. Leaders respect those who are superior to them and try to learn something from them. Followers resent those who are superior to them and try to find chinks in their armor. Leaders feel responsible for more than their job. Followers say, "I don't care, I just work here." A spiritual leader knows the meaning of being a true servant. Christ himself modeled this when he bent down to wash the feet of his disciples. Here we can see the difference between a follower and a leader. To become a godly leader, we need to strive toward Christian maturity. I want to go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Now, we will never reach spiritual perfection, but this is a goal that we can work towards. Apostle Paul often uses examples as when in a race. How the runners in a race want to be first, and they'll do all, stretch out as far as they can to cross that finish line first. When he runs, his eyes are fixed on the goal and the prize. Too often, we as Christians don't have that kind of spiritual enthusiasm. We want to improve, but we don't want to do a whole lot about it. It takes energy, it takes time, but it is all worth it. Very often, we Christians are like an athlete who wants to be physically fit but does not want to exercise. Maybe we can take some advice from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We need to have a zeal for Christ, a zeal like some businessmen have for business or athletes for sports. We need to learn to manage our distractions and to focus on the power of Jesus Christ and to learn from the example that Joshua was to the children of Israel and to his family. May the Lord help each one of us to do this, and the rewards will be ours throughout to eternity. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here in spirit this morning. and giving us spiritual food for our soul. May we resist the worldly pressures that we face every day. Forgive us for the times we fail to stand up for what is right. Give us spiritual strength to do better. Give us the strength that we will be the spiritual leader that you want us to be. The wisdom to discern right from wrong. Thank you for giving us abundant life now and eternal life to come through your Son, Jesus. We also ask, Lord, that you be with the widows and widowers, that they may find comfort in you. We pray for those that are sick, that you will give healing according to your will. We also pray for the spiritually sick, the lost, that they will heed your knocking on their heart's door. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to bless us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And once again, who is able, let us kneel in prayer. May the Lord hear prayers and be merciful unto us.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 126. We're marching to Zion. That was page 126.
Join in the song with sweet accord. Good morning. I thank Brother Jake for leading us today in the worship service. Thank you. Lord willing, there will be an election held in Altona on March 15th at 7:30 p.m. for one minister and one deacon, and we ask that you all make this a matter of prayer. Also a reminder, there will be a men's breakfast on Saturday, March 19th at 8 a.m. in the dining room. All men, young and old, are welcome. And there will be a short devotional after the breakfast. And if I could draw your attention to the back of the bulletin. On March 27th, it's the last Sunday of the month, we will be having a special collection for Hope's Journey Home building project for a Christ-centered home for women in crisis situations. This home is to be built on an already purchased lot in Portage-la-Prairie. Here is an opportunity to give to a wonderful mission that is close to our hearts and will provide loving care to young mothers with their newborns. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Pete, for those announcements. And a thought just came to my mind when we were singing that song, Marching to Zion. Each step that we're closer to heaven. I want to thank you all for coming this morning and participating in our worship service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.